Tomorrow is Election Day, but I've got my eyes on a higher prize.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you are tuned in to The Line of Fire today, if you are listening to me live on radio or internet, or listening or viewing subsequent to this day, which is the day before Election Day, you're doing so with purpose. In other words, you're doing so for the perspective that will bring, and hopefully something that will be helpful, edifying, strengthening, equipping in your own life. Well, you've tuned in to the right broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be here. In one of the most volatile times in our nation's history, and before one of the most pivotal elections in our nation's history. And regardless of the outcome of the election, if we know tomorrow, if we take several days, America is going to be deeply divided. And at very, very best, even with the best outcome politically, in other words, from God's perspective, whatever that best outcome would be, it is just a respite in which the church must come alive and do what God has called the church to do. That's the hope for America. Welcome to the show, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I got a bunch of things to share with you related to politics, related to the elections, but more importantly, related to our calling here as God's people, answering the question, how can we be in this world but not of the world? How can we be loyal citizens of America while being even more loyal citizens of God's heavenly kingdom? Is there contrast and conflict there or not? How can we prioritize the Great Commission without abdicating our responsibilities that we have here in a democratic republic? We'll be tackling that. I trust you'll be helped by today's broadcast. But I want to hear from you a simple question. Are you ready? Who are you voting for and why? Can you tell me in 30 seconds or less? 866-348-7884. Who are you voting for and why? Can you get it down to like 30 seconds? Voting for this candidate for this reason. Love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, if we go to Real Clear Politics, Real Clear Politics website, this is a website that every day has a series of articles from both political perspectives, and then does a poll of the polls. In other words, it takes all the major polls, synthesizes them, and gives you the conclusion. So the Real Clear Politics national average on this day before election, it's showing a decline from the day before, but let's just go back up there. There we go. It shows Biden with 50.9% and Trump with 44.4% of the vote, hence Biden up by 6.5%. Of the top battleground states, it averages out with Biden with a 2.7% lead. Both of those are down. The Electoral College shows Biden basically locked in with 216, Trump locked in with 125, and toss-ups, 197. And then of the battleground states, it shows Biden up by 1.4% in Florida, Trump up by 6% in North Carolina, Biden up in Pennsylvania, 2.9%, although that's going down from what it was, and it goes on with other states, et cetera, and basically Biden winning by a small margin in most of the battleground states. So looking at this, you would say based on the polls that the likely outcome is that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. The problem is, 4 years ago, the polls told us that Hillary Clinton would be the next president of the United States. How do we sort that out? There's an article I saw posted on king5.com. I'm not sure what that website is. King5.com was where I saw it. I guess it's just a local TV website, maybe. Can you really trust the polls? Things changed since the 2016 election. And pollsters suggest big oversights that they were guilty of in 2016. And they fixed that after the 2016 presidential election. Many may be asking, can I trust the polls? After all, nearly every national poll showed Hillary Clinton leading all the way up until the election before candidate Donald Trump pulled out a stunning upset. So far this fall, Joe Biden has led Trump in the polls by an average of 7.1%. According to polling data from RealClearPolitics.com, in comparison, Clinton led Trump by an average of 3.7% in the fall of 2016. This article says that the pollsters have learned from the mistakes in 2016, that the pollsters have adjusted things, and that they've got things right now, and that the predictions from the polls are more accurate than they were 4 years ago. Problem is, some of the polls are all over the place. Some will show Biden with a 10-point lead somewhere, and another will show Trump with a 2-point lead in that same location. So one of the pollsters who's been very critical of the polling is Jim Lee. He was on a panel discussion where they were talking about polling and mistakes in 2016, and he believes the same mistakes are being made today. So before we go to your calls, before I get into our larger calling and the focus of where I should be, I want to talk these things through. They're on our minds, obviously. Let's listen to the first clip with Jim Lee.
So, Jim Lee, I'm thinking this is going to be a factual show, which it is, mm-hmm. but I get the sense that, I don't want to say you have an agenda, but you're mad about something. And
yeah, I am. I'm mad because polls that come out days before an election that are egregiously off, and I don't mean by a couple points because Chris is right.
Do they affect the vote?
The margin of error, well, I guess we'll never know the answer to that because clearly in 2016, voters weren't looking too much at the polls. Mm-hmm. But when a poll comes out that has one candidate, in this case, Hillary Clinton, winning by 11 points when the winner of the race is the other candidate, that's not an outlier. Mm. That is bad polling, and it makes our entire industry look bad.
Okay.
So I've called on the American Association of Public Opinion Research to crack down on egregious polling, to tighten standards for firms like F&M that clearly don't understand the landscape of Pennsylvania, and that guys like Chris and I that are trying to do quality work, mm-hmm. Chris's last poll in 2016 within the margin of error, mm-hmm. ours showed the race between Clinton and Trump a statistical tie, mm-hmm. when others like F&M had the race at 11 points, and you don't think that's voter suppression?
Gotcha.
So I'm sticking up for the industry here by saying we need to crack down, and someone needs to stand up and say, you know what, this is getting out of control. Just
gotcha.
Look at those RealClear averages.
And there are so many out there.
All right, so he's saying that we got a real problem in the industry and things are not being done properly. And his concern is that this actually amounts to voter suppression. In other words, let's say your schedule has been really busy. To get out and vote is something where you have to make an adjustment in your day schedule. But you live in a state where your vote's not going to make a difference. In other words, maybe you're a Republican, a Trump supporter living in California or New York State, and you're thinking, my vote doesn't matter. I mean, these states are locked up for Biden-Harris. No reason to bother voting. What if that's your feeling because polls tell you that your vote doesn't matter, but your vote could make a big difference? In other words, it could be that close. In fact, if I have time, I'm going to tell you a fascinating story of what happened when it was Bush-Gore, and I lived in Pensacola, Florida. What was that, year 2000? A very interesting story. If I get time, I'll tell you about it. But he's concerned about this being voter suppression, that the polls will keep people away because they'll think, why bother? My vote's not going to make a difference. All right. Another clip from Jim Lee. Let's listen.
I disagree with Chris respectfully. The polls aren't moving. We had the race in Pennsylvania 2 points in our September poll. Now we see other firms coming out with polls where the margin of error, you know, the race is tied. Mm-hmm. It's been tied all along in our estimation. But there's firms out there.
Do you think truly tied, or do you think that 5 or 6 points that you hear about that people say are out there are for real? I you want to make that point because I hear it all the time. And there's 5 or 6 points. You know, the Trumpers, they're not going to tell people when they call.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, the president is out there with the narrative that we shouldn't trust polling. So I think, and quite frankly, many people call him everything from a misogynist to a racist to, you know, everything in between. So there are a lot of voters out there that don't want to admit to a live telephone agent they're voting for a guy that's been called a racist. Mm. So that submerged Trump factor is very real. And we've been able to capture it. And I'm really disappointed others in our industry have not. In 2016, our race, our polling in the summer and early fall showed Pennsylvania was up for grabs. Mm. Other firms are putting out leads for Hillary Clinton in double digits. And that was never the case, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
And we're seeing it happen again now.
All right. Good point.
Interesting. Again, this is the Business Matters show. We've got two pollsters. We've been listening to Jim Lee. One more clip from Jim Lee.
Well, any poll that tries to minimize and marginalize non-response error by giving people numerous opportunities to complete the survey.
Gotcha.
I.e. through telephone, mm-hmm. through internet, through texting, is going to provide those safeguards to really reduce that margin of error and make it more realistic. Because with any kind of survey technique, there is bias in every technique. There are certain people you just don't reach when you do telephone polling. There's certain you don't reach when you do internet polling.
So your thoughts, and I'm going to go over to Chris. Where are we now? Where are we, Pennsylvania, which is usually important?
Sure is.
And where are we in terms of the election as you see it?
I think it's going to be a very close race. I don't see this being a blue wave. I don't think Biden wins in a lot of the battleground states Trump carried in 2016. We have the race in Pennsylvania tied. Our poll the first week of September showed a 2-point race. Others showed a double-digit lead for Biden. Now we're seeing other firms showing it tighten, when in my opinion, it's been tied all along. So I think Pennsylvania is clearly a battleground for both candidates. And I think the election is going to be decided by a very, very small electoral vote outcome.
Who do you think wins?
I can't call it. If the turnout is what I think it's going to be, I think Trump wins it.
Gotcha.
All right, so that was Jim Lee from Susquehanna Polling. I'm going to go to the phones momentarily. If you're trying to get through, hang in there. We're going to get to a lot of calls today. But I asked a question on Twitter. I did a poll, and here's what I asked. On Twitter, I said, okay, I'm not asking for what you want to happen, but what you think will happen. So look at these results from my Twitter poll. And we've got 2,500 votes already, which is a strong response for one of my polls on Twitter. Still 4 hours left. What's your prediction? I gave four choices. Trump wins by landslide, Biden wins by landslide. Trump narrowly wins, Biden narrowly wins. Obviously, the great majority of my 44,000-something Twitter followers are conservative believers. Maybe 70%, maybe we're Trump voters, something like that. Anyway, 47.4% think Trump will win by landslide. That's the biggest number. 4.4% think Biden will win by landslide. 36.9% think Trump will narrowly win, and 11.2% think Biden will narrowly win. So 85% think Trump will win. What's my own prediction? I don't claim that God spoke to me. I don't claim to have any special revelation. Just looking at the obvious, what's my prediction? I'll tell you on the other side of the break, and then as soon as we come back, we go straight to your calls. All right, so my prediction, for whatever it's worth, not claiming any special insider revelation, just being candid with you, and then your calls as soon as we come back. Change the world.
Change the world. Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're going to be going to your calls in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Who are you voting for and why? Try to keep it to 30 seconds or less. For some, you can say it in a single short sentence. We'll be getting to your calls shortly. Okay, my prediction. I do not claim that the Lord spoke to me, showed me something, opened up a scripture, gave me special revelation. I am discounting other prophetic words and simply my own observation. I feel pretty confident that Donald Trump will win tomorrow. Why? When you look at the rallies, the numbers of people, the enthusiasm versus the small rallies, lack of enthusiasm. So the massive rallies for Trump, small, unenthusiastic for Biden, that's telling. When you see what seems to be an uptick in Hispanic and Black support of Trump, and perhaps even Jewish support for Trump, when for every one person I heard say, I voted for Trump in 2016, but I can't vote in 2020, I hear 10 or 20 saying, I didn't vote for him in 2016, and I will vote for him in 2020. And then just the radicalization of the Democratic Party, that would indicate to me the likelihood of a Trump victory. But either way, my emotions are set to worship God as God and to keep my eyes focused on eternity as I live here in this world, regardless of the outcome. And my determination is whatever the results are, to gather as many believers as I can together to work together for the good of the nation. That's my own prediction based on these observations. Do I have a spiritual sense? I want to be honest. My spiritual sense before elections tends to be off. In other words, I've never felt that the Lord gave me a clear word. You know, one of these visitation things where you know that God spoke to you or scripture jumped out at me. It's not happened. Normally, it's kind of my emotions and what I want to see happen and so on and so forth. So bottom line, don't know. Don't have a word. Don't have a revelation. But my observations would strongly indicate a Trump victory. We shall see. All right, let's start with Kim in High Point, North Carolina. Who are you voting for and why?
Dr. Brown, I have already voted
for
Donald Trump. I believe that we are voting to save our Christian values.
Got it. Loud and clear.
I'm 68 years old. Never would I have ever thought I would have seen an election like this in my lifetime. But I am adamant. I feel it very strongly in my spirit that we are voting to save our Christian values.
Got it. All right. Thank you, Kim, for weighing in. By the way, I'm not giving feedback. I'm not arguing. I'm not responding. You get to share your view with the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to RC in San Bernardino, California. Who are you voting for and why?
Hello, Dr. Brown. First, I'd like to say you're a beacon of truth that I like to share with the rest of my family. I think Trump will win by a narrow margin. I'm voting for him and my family is because he's pro-life, simply because of that. We feel that life matters right down to that point. And we're
going
to vote for him.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for the good word that we are doing our best to be a voice of truth for you and your family. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Kathy in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that I am voting for Trump, and I'm happy to be able to say it without being attacked. And I'm voting for Trump because of his pro-life stance, and I like the fact that he does pay attention to the border, and he gets really slammed for that, but people need to do their research on what's going on there and what, you know, he's trying to protect people.
Got it. Hey, loud and clear, Kathy, thank you for weighing in. By the way, you folks are doing an amazing job being succinct and clear. Thank you so much. Let us go to Andy in Broadview, Illinois. Who are you voting for and why?
Hello, Mike. I'm voting for Donald Trump. I did vote early. And the reason why is I love his stance on abortion. I just think he is more sincere than Biden. I think Biden is being used, and I think he's a puppet more than anybody. And I think the sincerity lies with Donald Trump.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jamie in Monroe, North Carolina. Welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you. I voted for Trump. I was very hesitant before in 2016, afraid of him, but I couldn't vote for Hillary. I voted for him. This time I will happily vote for him because he promised certain things, first being pro-life, pro-Israel, Christian freedoms, the Second Amendment, and I trust him now to do what he says, and I like what he says. And God bless you.
Thank you, Jamie. Very succinct again. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mark in Sutherland, Virginia. Welcome to the line of fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I'm just saying that when Trump first started running, I wasn't for him, but I did vote for him in 2016. I'm very happy with the job he's done. I'm going to be voting for him again this year, and I just vote for him because I choose life first and very much against abortion. And I feel like he's just for the rule and law and more for our Constitution than Biden by a very far margin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get to more calls, let me just say that what we're hearing thus far reflects what I've been hearing around the country. I don't mean that everyone's voting for Trump. Obviously, I have a certain constituency listening and calling in. But I mean people that didn't vote for him in 2016 are now, or that voted for him with hesitation like I did in 2016, now voting without hesitation in 2020. That seems to be the pattern. Again, we shall see poll results and all these things, what ends up happening, but very interesting. Okay, since Israel was mentioned, Chris, let's grab the Israel clip. I saw this earlier today. I wrote an article that's up on the stream, stream.org, asking if a vote for Trump is a vote for security in Israel and the Middle East. But this was really interesting. No, in fact, don't play it. Now that I'm thinking about it, don't play it because it's in Arabic and English with captions. Sorry about that. Okay, let me tell you what it says. You've got two men walking together in Israel. One of them is Palestinian, you know, dressed in that garb, a former PLO terrorist who spent 7 years in Israeli prisons and now is a staunch opponent of terrorism. And then an Israeli Jew, the mayor of Samaria, and a member of the IDF, all right? So you'd think these are going to be ideological opponents. And they say we're appealing with our hearts for the sake of our lives. Now, this is their position. From Israel, just two men. The former Palestinian terrorist says that under the Obama policies, which supported the corrupt Palestinian leadership, that there were many attacks on Israelis, because of which Israel retaliated with blockades and other acts of destruction, as a result of which, 4,137, I think that's the number, 4,137 Palestinians were killed by Israelis in retaliation for the Palestinian attacks on Israel. And there were over 200 Israelis that were killed, all right, by Palestinian terrorists. So in their view, Obama's policies empowered the dangerous and corrupt Palestinian leaders to attack Israel. This is what the former terrorist says. And he says, when Israel responded to these hostilities, it resulted in blockades and destruction among the Palestinian people. And he says, result of that, over 4,000 Palestinians were killed by the Israelis in retaliatory acts. Now, the Israeli Jew comes on and explains that things have changed dramatically, that because Trump has pulled back funding from the corrupt Palestinian leaders, he said, hey, if you were going to fund the families of suicide bombers and things like that and fund Palestinians, they're in prison for terrorist acts, you're going to fund their families. We're not going to fund you. All right. So 204 Israelis killed by Palestinian terror attacks. Now, so one number was actually 4,127 Palestinians killed, and then 204 Israelis killed. Now they're saying, under the Trump administration, the number has dropped dramatically because the Palestinians have not been funded by America and have not been able to carry out their terroristic acts. So now it's only 531 Palestinians who were killed by Israelis retaliating against Palestinian terror, and only 37 Israelis who've been killed by terrorist attacks. And remember, this is despite Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem. We were told there's going to be a bloodbath in Israel and the Middle East. And the Abraham Accords, which now have United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan joining in, supposedly Saudi Arabia and others are about to join in, they are joining in largely because America is brokering this, and America and Israel and these countries are standing against their common enemy, Iran, which is now in allegiance with Turkey and makes for a very powerful terrorist country or allegiance of countries in the Middle East. So you have that going on. Yet the Biden-Harris administration, if they get in, they said that they will reinstate the Iranian nuclear deal, which potentially speeds up Iran's ability to get a nuclear war, which effectively undoes some of the whole emphasis and momentum of the Abraham Accords. So I was talking to a never-Trumper the other day about this, and I said, could this maybe get you to vote for Trump? I'm just putting issues out. You have to decide. You have to pray. You have to do what you think is right. And if in conscience before God you feel to cast a protest vote, or that's all between you and God. I'm just giving you information. I'm giving you data. All right? My prayer, I do not pray for a candidate to win. I do not. I never have. I pray, God, your will be done. You know what is best for our nation. You know what we need. Your will be done. Let us unite in praying that. All right, I'm going to get to more calls. Who are you voting for and why? 866-34-TRUTH. And then I want to focus on where our eyes must be set, the greater prize we're looking to.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Who are you voting for and why? You get to call in and take 30 seconds or less just to say who and why. Nice and succinctly, 866-34-TRUTH. In a moment, we're going to look at some scripture. But I want to address two things. One, if you're listening live on radio, you may have heard on stations you're listening to a commercial urging Christians to vote for Joe Biden. We have no control, nor do the stations have control over what airs when. So just wanted you to know that. My goal is not to have a political ad either way, but just want you to know that. The other thing, I want to reply to an extraordinarily blind comment on Facebook by Martin. Martin, I hope you're still there. But Martin posted this in response to a video by a former Palestinian terrorist and an Israeli mayor saying together, vote for Donald Trump to save lives, Palestinian and Israeli lives. In other words, to reduce terrorism and to reduce Israel's response to terrorism, the Trump policies are better. You want to see a remarkably blind comment, and I feel bad for Martin posting it, but since he posted it publicly, we'll share it. Dr. Brown, so Dr. Brown's in quotes as if I don't have an earned PhD, which just, when you see that, you generally know where the person's coming from. You are a caricature of a Christian. So get this, friends, for talking about a former Palestinian terrorist who has renounced terrorism and believes Trump's policies will reduce terrorism in the Middle East and save Palestinian lives and Israeli lives. For showing that video, quote, you are a character of a Christian. That's why I said there's extraordinary blindness behind this position. He continues, Christ is not a racist. Correct. Jesus cares for every human being on the planet. Jesus cares for Israeli Jews, Palestinian Arabs. Absolutely. He cares for black and white and yellow and red. Absolutely. And God keeps his promises as well. And God is a God that delights in the reducing of needless bloodshed, which is what the video is about. But how does this person interpret it? See, this is what happens when we have blinders on. And this is why I feel bad for people that post these things. It shows they're actually not hearing and seeing, but everything's being processed through a spiritual or intellectual blindness. He continues, Christ would never approve of guns, nor of Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory. So obviously, he's saying Christ did not approve of anything in the Old Testament. Christ did not approve of the children of Israel driving out the Canaanites. Christ did not approve of that. He's obviously saying Christ did not approve of the Allies bombing Germany to stop the slaughter of millions of people. So that's an interesting perspective. And I wonder when Jesus returns, is he returning in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God, or just saying, hey, let's all have a chat and settle our differences? Just an aside. Never Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. How about God keeps his word? This has always been the homeland of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people would like nothing less than to live side by side in harmony with their Palestinian neighbors, if not for corrupt Palestinian leadership that keeps thwarting genuine efforts for peace. It's such a different way of looking at that. Oh, and now for the personal threats. You are not so young. He wrote bot, but meant not, obviously. You are not so young, and your day is coming to be accountable for all these awful lies. At first, Martin, boy, do I look forward to the day of giving account to God with holy reverence. But boy, do I look forward to that day, because my whole goal is to please the Master. My whole goal is to honor the Lord. My whole goal is to shine for him, and that's what I live for. That's why I feel bad when I see comments posted that are so off, because I want to minister to as many people as I can and help, even help someone like you, Martin, to see through your biases and your wrong sympathies. Love to help you. But, oh, I live in light of that day of judgment. And I'll keep putting out truth. You can call them lies. I'll keep putting out truth. I would just say this, sir. If you'd like the privilege of posting on our Facebook page, you're going to have to get rid of the threats, because that's inappropriate, and we don't allow our platform to be used for something like that. But may the Lord give you grace to see. All right. Okay, a few quick calls, and then we're going to get into the Word together. Alejandro in Des Moines, Iowa, who are you voting for and why?
Donald Trump, sir, because I'm a Latino, Hispanic, and I used to work at a radio station. And we played a lot of Democratic ads that were very misleading, full of lies. And it makes me sad how they manipulate our community, how long they've been playing for them. Lots of promises, and they haven't really done anything. If anything's going to get done for the Hispanic Latino community, it's going to be Donald Trump.
Let me ask you one question. I said I'm not giving feedback to what folks are saying, just letting them speak either way. But in your community, meeting your friends, family members, those you interact with, has there been any shift from 2016 to 2020 in terms of voting patterns?
Very few. But yes, very, very few. And unfortunately, a lot of them have been very intolerant and cut ties with me, don't talk to me, got angry. Friends don't like me anymore. It's crazy what kind of division is going on in our country. People that demand tolerance don't give tolerance.
Yeah, well, listen, you repay intolerance with love, grace, truth, patience, and
Amen.
Some people will come around. Hey, God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Gary in Atlanta, Georgia. Who are you voting for and why?
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. First, I want to just say thank you very much for your service. I mean, I was having some doubts after hearing some other rabbis talking about Jesus. And, then I searched online and found your YouTube video. And thank you so much for that. So that aside, I'm working for Trump. And the reason are there are multiple reasons. You know, one is for the court, for the high court, mm-hmm. which is really, really important. And also, because he didn't start any wars, with any other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And also, well, just because all the big media are against him, and it kind of shows how much money are kind of against him. So that's pretty much the reason I'm working for him.
Got it.
Thank you, Gary.
And Gary, I'm so glad to know that our material helped you, as there were different internet rabbis that were sowing doubts into your heart about believing in Jesus, and our videos Set the Record Straight brought you back to the truth. That's a big reason we do what we do. Thank you so much. And Kelly on YouTube, thank you for your gift. Voting for Trump because of his love for Israel, among many other things. Wilberforce voted for Trump because of his love for Israel, among many other things. Thank you, Dr. Brown, and thank you for being our voice. Hey, that's why we are here. Let us go to Justin in Elkhorn, Kentucky. Who are you voting for and why?
I'll be voting in person for Donald Trump in here in a few days and kind of looking forward to it. But I kind of get the vibe, though, that Biden may win. I hate to say it.
Got it.
Do you feel that way at all?
Well, obviously, polls keep pointing in that direction. I don't think it will happen, not because I don't trust the polls, but observations I made earlier, namely the amount of people I know that have shifted from not voting for Trump to voting for him in 2020, from 2016. The reverse trend seems to be much smaller. The size of the rallies, the enthusiasm, which seems to be an uptick in Hispanic and Black and maybe even Jewish support. A little Hispanic caller said he sees very little change in that regard. But either way, my emotions are set to worship the Lord just the same either way. And I believe there's been so much prayer for these elections that if Joe Biden got in, I would say that was the will and purpose of God. Now, it may be to accelerate judgment. It may be to accelerate awakening in the church. There may be other things that God is doing. It may be giving us over to error and things like that. God knows. But either way, I'm setting my emotions before the Lord to worship him just the same either way. Thank you for calling. All right, we'll stay with the calls here. Let's go to Warren in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Who are you voting for and why?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm voting for Trump and I'm voting for him based on his support for our military. So I've got a lot of history in our family of being in the military, and I just love the way he supports. So he won my vote a long time ago.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Take one more call. Rick in Holden Beach, North Carolina. Who are you voting for and why?
Oh, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I was a reluctant voter 4 years ago. I would answer to people, I was voting for Pence and the other guy, or I'm a not Hillary voter. But after what he's done, all the amazing things, because I think a lot of us really had no idea. I was a Ted Cruz guy and have been pleasantly, very pleasantly surprised at the incredibly positive policies, particularly his pro-life position, his incredible judge picks, the latest one with Amy Coney Barrett. His policies on energy independence and tariffs and the border. I mean, there's just been so many things. Human trafficking. I mean, there's so many things that he's done that the media has completely ignored. So I pray for him, and I also pray, and I pray that everyone listening will remember, we must pray for revival, that our president cannot have a really much of an effect on our moral condition. And if we are fortunate enough to be blessed to be mercifully given 4 more years of Trump, we must pray for revival, because our moral condition will not alter one bit after tomorrow. And if we don't pray, and it begins with us, it begins with believers saying, Father, forgive me for not sharing the gospel. Forgive me for pretending that somehow a politician can change the moral condition of our neighbors in our nation, because we are surrounded by those who don't know the Lord. And we are surrounded by many churches that don't preach the gospel.
Yeah. And, you know, I did a survey, Rick, on Twitter, asking folks when's the last time they shared the gospel with someone in a quality way. And it was within the last week, within the last month, within the last year, I think, and then not in recent memory. The highest single one was not in recent memory. There's like 35%, which is obviously a concern. All right, so maybe we took 10 calls so far today. Everyone said they're voting for Trump, gave the reasons why. Obviously, pro-life came up a lot. For those who say, yeah, but Trump's killed all these people with the virus, number one, we still don't know what's the best policy or not, and what masks do or don't do. I comply with all the guidelines to wear what I'm supposed to, et cetera. But it's not like Trump willingly said, let's kill Americans. There's so many conflicting views, and maybe lives could have been saved. It's a lot of speculation, bottom line. But we do know, when you have a party saying we stand for Roe v. Wade to be the law of the land, we will stand against those opposing Roe v. Wade, and on and on, you know where that party's going. So when I cast a vote, I'm casting a vote saying I support the party, the platform, or I am hoping in voting for them that they will implement their policies. So that's the question in terms of whose policies do I implement. Okay, we come back. We're getting straight into the scriptures.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me function now as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Let me not be a political pundit. Let me not be a conservative talking head. Let me be, as I am, first and foremost, a follower of Jesus, a preacher of the gospel. I wrote an article, you can read it on our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, called The Case Against Trump and Why He Still Gets My Vote. Read it there, askdrbrown.org, The Case Against Trump and Why He Still Gets My Vote. I understand the issues people have with Trump. If you don't believe me, read the article, and then in more depth, read Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? I understand the issues, and again, I am not primarily caught up with one political party or the other. I prefer the Republican platform to the Democrat platform overwhelmingly. I prefer the policies that Trump has implemented versus the ones that Biden-Harris would want to implement overwhelmingly. There are many, many important issues to me where the divide is great, but my primary identity is not as a Trump voter, but as a Jesus follower. And in fact, just from my own ethic, I'm registered as an independent. Because to me, just for me, I'm not faulting anyone else, But for me, it was important to say that my allegiance is to God and the truth. I'm reminded of the story in the book of Joshua, where Joshua encounters the angel of the Lord. He's about to do battle with Jericho, and he sees a man with a drawn sword. He doesn't realize it's the angel yet, and he says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the angel says, "No, but I've come as captain of the armies of the Lord of hosts. Now get on your face." Joshua falls on his face. "Take your shoes off your feet. The ground on which you're standing is holy." So the key is that we align with God. Now, let's look at some scripture, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, and I'm reading from the NET, temporarily residing abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, the province of Asia, and Bithynia. All right, and the translation note in the NET says, or to those living as resident foreigners, to the exiles. This term is used metaphorically of Christians who live in this world as foreigners, since their homeland is heaven. They live in this world as foreigners, since their homeland is heaven. And then verse 17, he says this, and if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, 1 Peter 1:17, live out the time of your temporary residence here in reverence. And then the translation note says, the time of your sojourn, picturing the Christian's life in this world as a temporary stay in a foreign country. What's written in Philippians 3:20? Philippians 3:20 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then in the prayer of Jesus, in John chapter 17, verse 16, after he prayed that his Father would not take the apostles out of this world, but keep us from the evil one, keep the apostles from the evil one, and then by implication, all of us as believers, keep us from the evil one, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What does that mean? It means that we live in this world, but we don't live by the spirit of the age. It means that we are loyal citizens to our country, but our ultimate loyalty is to the kingdom of God. So if you lived in ancient Rome and you were accused of insurrection, of being a traitor, guilty of treason because you wouldn't call Caesar Lord, you wouldn't sacrifice to Caesar, what you're saying is, I obey a higher king. I have a higher Lord, a higher allegiance. So my allegiance, my primary allegiance is not to Trump, is not to America, is not to a political party, is not to this world, it's to God and his kingdom. And then as his follower, I seek to bring kingdom principles into this world. Here, what if we were sent to America from another country, whatever your ultimate origins are, if you came from Nigeria, if you came from England, if you came from Russia, wherever you came from Mexico, we were sent to America as missionaries. And our commission was the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Yes, we get caught up in the political process because God cares about this world. Yes, he cares about human life. Yes, he cares about what's best for individuals. Absolutely, that's our God, that's who he is. And he wants us to be salt and to be light, to stand for righteousness. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Matthew 5:13 to 16, as I said, we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. So we are called to do good. We are called to a pattern of good works. Matthew 25:31 to 46, the clear teaching about the sheep and the goats, that we are called to care for the poor, the needy. So we would do all that, but we wouldn't get caught up in the frenzy of partisan politics because we'd have our eyes on a higher prize. You hear what I'm saying? And in America, when we get so caught up in this, everything going, you hate the fake news here, you can't trust this one there, and it's not fair, and bad ads, and you get so emotional. I can get caught up easily. I have to work against getting caught up in this, all right, and spend quality time with God and get my focus in the right place. It is so easy for us to forget our great priorities, which are being disciples and making disciples, knowing God and making God known. Now, look at this. I want to show you two responses on YouTube. When we got a call about John Piper's article suggesting the best thing to do is sit out the elections, and I responded, differing with him strongly, agreeing with many points, but differing and explaining why I could make a moral vote for Trump. So ultimately, it was pro-Trump. okay, in that sense, saying, here's why I'm voting for him. So look at these two responses. Sorry, sir, you, like Piper, do not recognize God's anointing on President Trump. He is literally saving this country from the utter destruction planned for it. We are not just passing through guest kingdom. I think they meant to say God's kingdom is coming here. Trump is beginning the process of preparing the way like Cyrus. So because I take any issue with the president, and because I say we are passing through and we have a higher eternal goal, this person says, I don't know what I'm talking about, right? I don't recognize God's anointing. I guess you can't say anything negative then. You can't differ. You can't distance yourself from the things you differ with and don't like. Now, flip this over. Here's another comment. There is nothing remotely resembling Jesus in Trump. The Christians supporting him are going to be found severely wanting in the afterlife, as their support of him has more to do with unchristian vengeance, bitterness, resentment, and hate than being pro-life. So you get these polar extremes. You can't say one negative word even if you vote for him. If you vote for him, you don't know Jesus. I mean, these extremes on all sides. And I'm saying, let's step back, recognize we're in an imperfect world with imperfect candidates, with an imperfect political system, highly flawed in many ways, and we're looking for the best alternative, who will do the best to bring about the best good. Let me read to you from Dr. Martin Luther King, his letter from a Birmingham jail. Throughout the Montgomery, Alabama campaign, critics complained about the ordained clergy's involvement in, quote, earthly temporal matters. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., however, believed this view of religion was too confined. Like, you shouldn't get involved in segregation, racism. It's too earthly. He saw his civil rights activity as an extension of his ministry. The Christian gospel is a two-way road. On the one hand, this is King, it seeks to change the souls of men and thereby unite them with God. On the other hand, it seeks to change the environmental conditions of men so the soul will have a chance after it is changed. And then he said this, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Friends, that is something we must grab hold on today. We are not an appendage of either political party. We are not a servant of the state, nor are we the master of the state. Rather, we are the conscience of the state. Therefore, you must be known more than anything as a follower of Jesus. I'm a defender of the gospel, not a defender of the president. Jesus gets my life. The president gets my vote. I shout to the world with the largest letters and font and boldest, biggest, Jesus, Yeshua is my Savior and Lord. I wear that. I talk it. I live it. And then in very small print, and Trump gets my vote. I don't want there to be any confusion about allegiance whatsoever. Oh, I feel very strongly about the elections. I voted with hesitation in 2016. I vote without hesitation in 2020. I feel very strongly. I believe that the consequences of the elections could be great, but either way, the kingdom of God marches forward. Either way, the name of Trump will one day be forgotten. The name of America will one day be forgotten. When we are around the throne of God worshiping, there's going to be one focus. So picture this. We get caught up to God's heavenly kingdom around his throne. We sit there worshiping and looking at eternity and looking at those who came to know him and mourning over those that rejected him. We see the eternal implications of what we do on this earth. And then God says, okay, go back and finish your mission. Maybe you're 18 years old. Maybe you got 70 years ahead of you. Maybe you're 70 years old. You got 15 years ahead of you. Whatever it is, God says, okay, go back and finish the mission in light of eternity. So as citizens of a heavenly kingdom, we now come with that ethic, with that set of values, with those goals, with that revelation of who he is and what really matters, and the difference between light and darkness, difference between heaven and hell, difference between life and death, truth and error. And with that, we come and live out our faith in every area of society for the glory of God. That's the prize. That's where my eyes are fixed. Fix your eyes there as well. All right, join me tomorrow live on Election Day. Shake.